topic is that if somebody comes from Chutz La'aretz, from the diaspora, and they come to visit Israel for one of the holidays, should they be keeping one day or 2 days? That's a very simple question. And the answer is also very simple, that it's a huge machloket. It's an incredible argument among people. There are more opinions than you can possibly imagine. I am not going to mention every single opinion right now. But what I will do is go through some of the primary sources and people who've discussed it, so at least you'll understand. And if you have any specific questions, I'll be happy to answer it before we finish. In the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tuf Tzadi Vav, the headline there is Dine Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliot, the laws of Yom Tov Sheni. Halacha Aleph, Halacha Beis speak about the seriousness of this, on why in Chutz La'aretz there are 2 days, and we're not going to get into it, and I'll explain it maybe in the most superficial way. In the olden days, when the new month was determined based upon witnesses, witnesses did not necessarily get to every single place, and therefore places the witnesses didn't get to, they did not know which day Rosh Chodesh would be. And the reason for this is because the duration of a Jewish month is 29 and a half days. So when it's 29 and a half days, you don't know which day will be the new moon, if it will be the 30th or the 31st day, and therefore we had this intrigue. Consequently, in places which were far off from Israel, where they wouldn't even have found out within 2 weeks, which would be the situation on Pesach and Shavuos, they would not have heard within 2 weeks. So then they would keep 2 days of the holiday because they didn't know which day was the holiday, the day before, the day after. It's interesting, on Yom Kippur we don't do this. On Rosh Hashanah we always do this. We won't get into any further. This is a rabbinic law. It's a rabbinic law which applies outside the land of Israel. And essentially what happened is that outside the land of Israel, that is the established custom to keep the second day, which was based upon a suffix, based upon a doubt. All of you now can ask me, but today with communications, we no longer have the doubt. Still, the law was established. Also, you should realize it's one of the things that in the early years of the reform that they try to get rid of right away, because logically there would be a reason to get rid of it, because why keep this anymore? And that, if anything, caused the quote-unquote Orthodox poskim to be very, very vigilant and not to back down at all in terms of keeping this particular custom. But as I said, that applies to outside the land of Israel, and we're talking about in Israel. In Halacha Gimel, so after Aleph and Bet, where the Mechaber spoke generally about the significance of the law of Yom Tov Sheni, and basically what he would say is that it's just like Yom Tov Rishon. You say Kiddush like it's Yom Tov Rishon. You treat it like it's a holiday in every single day. Just because it's rabbinic, we're not makil in any single way. And I think any of you who were brought up in Chutz La'aretz remember that. We didn't treat the second day of Chag any differently than the first day, even though one day is from a Torah law, one day is from a rabbinic law. We treated it exactly the same. In Halacha Gimel, he brings up the following situation, which is interesting and somewhat relevant to our discussion. How relevant it is, we'll see. Halacha Gimli writes, Bnei Eretz Yisrael, people who are residents of the land of Israel, Shabo L'chutz La'aretz, who arrived outside the land of Israel, and I know that this is not the topic I was going to discuss today. What's the topic I was going to discuss? People that come the other way around. You'll see in a moment why I'm discussing this and not that. People from the land of Israel, residents from Israel, who come to the diaspora, Asurim lasot melacha biyom tov sheni biyishuv. They are not allowed to do any work when they reach the Jewish community. If you're not sure about this, you've heard various rumors about this, this is very, very clear. You cannot do any kind of work once you reach the Jewish community. Afil dato lachzor, even if you have in your mind to return back to the land of Israel, because you can say, listen, I'm from the land of Israel, that's my custom, but what he said over here is, yet you cannot desecrate the holiday. For kol zman shelo gili yishuv, however, as long as you have not arrived in the community, afilu ein dato lachzar, even if you have no intention to return back to Israel, mutar, you are allowed to do melacha, work. Because you have not become like them. So as I said, this is only semi-relevant for our discussion. What he's saying is that at which point is one obligated to keep the second day of Yom Tov? At which day? At the point that he becomes, that he enters into the Jewish community. So for example, right. So for example, even if you have no intention to return, it's not till. He did say that. So for example, if you fly out of Israel and you land in Heathrow, Heathrow is not a thriving Jewish community. Would you be allowed to get on another plane in Heathrow and then continue your travels, even though now, again, you flew Motzoei Chag, let's say, right? And you arrived in Heathrow, would you be able to continue your travels? The answer is absolutely yes, you can continue to travel because you have not entered into a Jewish community. Wow. It's because you are not obligated based upon the community. It's what obligates you when you enter the community. Even if you intend to stay in England, it's not until you arrive within the Jewish community that you are then obligated by the rules of that particular place. Okay? Aval imi giul yishuv, but once you arrived in the community, ve'ein dato lachzor, and you have no intention to going back, naseh kimotan, you become like them, and immediately. Vasur, and you're not allowed to do work, bein b'midbar bein b'yishuv, whether you live in a place which is more secluded or a place which is more established. And I know you may think he contradicted himself, but I'm not going to go into that. The kol chutz l'tchum, einu nilav chumri makom shalach l'sham. As long as you're outside of the tchum. So here he just now gave you how you know when you enter the community. It's based on tchum. What's tchum? 2,000 amot. 2,000 amot from where the Jewish community is, that is when you are obligated to follow their sensibilities. You are living in Israel, and you travel, take your pick now, London, New York, Los Angeles, you travel there, let's say, for all 7 or 8 days of the Chag, you are not allowed to do work on the second day of the Chag. What you do in terms of davening, what you do in other things, that he did not mention over here. Work over here, you're not allowed to do. Yes?
Are you allowed in your own space, like in your own apartment, to answer the phone to do quiet work, which is not seen by other people?
It's, the answer is maybe. Maybe. The reason I say maybe is that any kind of work, and you mentioned before Marat Ayin, any kind of work which can be sensed by people outside that you're doing work, so then we say that when it comes to you can't do work, it's even inside because people may sense what's going on. So now, let's say, for example, on the holiday, lights go on and off because people have a Shabbos clock, then I would be inclined to say, so then you could put the light on because no one's going to sense that you necessarily put it on. But can you put it on in front of other people? No, you can't. And I'll add one more issue, which I shouldn't add. There are even people who would say that you're allowed to light a light anyway on Chag, which you most likely are not all that familiar with, but being that there may be a bona fide way of doing it, so therefore I would be more lenient in such a case. But it really depends what work means. But as I said, this has nothing to do with our topic today, so why do I quote this? Because this is all the Shulchan Aruch wrote about people traveling from one place to the other. The Shulchan Aruch neglected, and now we can guess why he neglected, but he neglected to write what happens if you travel in the other direction, which is our topic. Which therefore, what I've just now attempted to show you is something which to my mind is very important in terms of this particular topic. We're dealing with a halacha which is not written in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? There are certain halachas that we follow that the Shulchan Aruch writes something and then we have to go interpret or understand or contextualize. Over here, we have a case which is not found in the Shulchan Aruch. What case is not found? So again, the case of the person who travels in the opposite direction. Now, this is a little strange that he didn't write this. Ben Rav Yosef Karo himself lived in the land of Israel. Why does he pick the case which, to my mind,
was more popular, meaning that was more common.
What was more common? But either whichever one is more common is not the question. If people are traveling, one way to the other, it's a little strange he wrote one law without the other, which of course you can now tell me, you know what, I can extrapolate, and whatever he wrote over here, it would be the exact same law if you flip it around and travel the other direction. Now that's a very good guess, but what's the problem with that? It's a guess. So, let's say it's around a mile. Around a mile. What I said is you can't, no, I didn't say that. No, don't be a rabbi yet. No, you don't have evidence for that. All that you had evidence was something else. What was the evidence that you had? That you can't do malacha. You didn't have evidence that you have to keep the second day. In fact, I would say no, you don't have to keep the second day. If you go visit and you have intention to come back, don't you have to keep the second day, but you can't do any malacha.
And davening
you don't do, but you would have to wear Yom Tov clothing. Right. A couple years ago, I was invited to be a scholar in residence over Shavuos. Actually, I've been invited every year to be a scholar in residence over Shavuos the last 10 years. But my wife actually let me go one year. That was the Johannesburg. And a couple of us went. I mean, my wife and a couple of the kids. And we davened early in the morning. We davened by ourselves, put on tefillin, the men folk, that is. And afterwards went to shul and then made believe we davened in shul. And especially because I was like a guest rabbi, I had to be there. But I'd put on tefillin earlier, and I did not say all the things that they said. Again, being Chol HaMoed, Shavuos was in Chol HaMoed. So therefore, the second day was nothing. But we wore Yom Tov clothing, and we were very machmir to eat lunch. Yes.
But would it be wrong if you wished to keep it?
Yes. 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 You still demonstrably cannot show that you're not. Therefore, in a Jewish community where people have 2 days Yantiv, you have to conduct yourself like everybody else, and therefore, outside, therefore you don't do work. As far as davening goes, correct, you have to put on tefillin. As far as davening goes, you daven, if it's the second day of Shavuos, you daven chol. Chol HaMoed becomes more complicated, and so on and so forth. Let's continue. The Mishnah Berurah writes, in source number 2, B'yishuv. Do we want to look at that? No. The only important thing that he adds is in the second line is that he stresses the Jewish community. And I kept saying that anyway when I was reading it. It's not just when you get to Chutzlo, it's Yishuv means Yishuv Shel Yisrael Dafka. He does write that at the end of the second line, so that's the only thing there that you may want to emphasize. Source number 3. Again, this is the Mishnah Berurah in the same law, and he, as many other commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, of course, notice that something is missing, and what's missing the other way around. And he fills that in. Uven Chutz La'aretz Shabala Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so this is the other way. Ben Chutzar Tzabar Le'en Yisrael, Im Da'ato Lachzor L'mkomo, if he has intention to return back to where he's going, Tzorech Lasot Shnei Yamim Yom Tov. Okay, very, very simple, very straightforward. The Mishnah Berurah's opinion is that if you intend to return back to where you came from, then you do not join the community, and therefore you need to still keep the customs of where you came from, just like, in a sense, the person who came from Israel went to Chutz La'aretz. They daven chol. They can't do malacha because of other considerations, but for them it's really chol. The person from Israel who from Chutz La'aretz comes to Israel, for them, they must keep their old custom. They tend to go back, and therefore they should keep 2 days. This is the Mishnah Berurah's opinion. Let's just continue a little bit more. Umikom makom tefilat yom tov tzarech lepalel bebeito b'tzina'ah. And this is something which many, many people do not pay attention to. The Mishnah Berurah's opinion is, you have to daven. You have to daven Yom Tov. Can you have a minyan for second day Yantiv? What does he write? No. where it has to be done something. It's the same way that I would put tefillin on secretly. He says that there should the davening should be done secretly. Now, if you were to have asked him, but what about in a hotel when everybody's keeping a second day, what would he have answered? I don't know what he would have answered. But it's interesting that you do have lots of places that tend to have a minyan for second day. So if it bothered you ever, you can now point out that it's against the Mishnah Berurah. Achein im dato shelo lachzor lemkomo laolam. If you have no intention to return back, and by the way, intention is a funny thing. I can intend to return, I cannot intend to return, I can have no particular intention as well. There's also someplace in the middle. He says, if you don't have intention to go back, then you behave as if you're part of that community. Right? You have no intention to go back.
Forever.
You have no intention. You have no ticket. Ukumoshim of Wordless Simon, and he quotes something he'd written in another place. Kotvua Achronim, it's mentioned among the Achronim, and here we're going to get the first instance of a number of them today, where the way that people once lived may be different from the way that people live today. And that's going to be part of our problem. Kotvu Achronim, and if you want to know which Achronim, you look in Yud-Tet. The Mishnah Berurah was written with footnotes. In case you don't know, the footnote is right underneath this in the Shartzion. He tells you it's the Mogen Avraham, the name of the Radvaz. Kotvu Achronim, Demisha Oker Dirato Im Ishto Uvanav Mimakom Lemakom, Lisav Litan Ularviach. Somebody who travels from place to place and does business from place to place, but his family is with him. Even though that when he left, he had in mind to go back. It's as if he didn't have an intention to go back, which means he just created another case. A person who travels on and does business along the way, and his wife and family is with him, that person is as if they are considered to be part of wherever they are. Once the person left the other house, the whole family is with him. If he finds a better job where he is, he's going to end up remaining there. So this could be somewhat problematic, although you can accuse me of stretching this, of somebody who does come visiting here for a shorter period of time, but looks for business opportunities while they're here. Certainly somebody who comes with their entire family and is looking for business opportunities. Would the Mishnah Berurah here now create a situation that maybe he should not necessarily be keeping 2 days? I'll leave that open, but he certainly opened the door for that type of argument. A person's spouse is in the other place, and they're in one place, and they have no intention to go back, but their spouse is still there. He says, your attention wins out over your spouse. Okay? So, yes. If your spouse is in the other place, but you have no intention to join them, so what your intention is wins out over where your spouse is. Okay. In his footnote where he told us that the law is you should keep 2 days, that was in the very beginning, in Yud Chet, in the footnote, in the Shaar Tzion, he writes, Ken katav b'shari tshuva, b'shem rov ha'achronim, ayin sham, v'ayin b'shulchan aruch ha'graz b'zeh. So he actually gave two different sources, which, a matter of fact, contradict themselves. One source that he brought was the Shari Tshuva, in the name of most Achronim, the way that he calls it. And then he also said, but take a look in the Shulchan Aruch HaGraz. What is the Shulchan Aruch HaGraz? It's the Shulchan Aruch of Rabbi Zalman. So who's Rabbi Zalman? So you better know him as Rabbi Schneer Zalman. He's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Shulchan Aruch of the Balatanya. The Balatanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, also wrote a Shulchan Aruch. And he has somewhat of a different opinion. And we'll get to that in a moment. The Shari Tshuva, who, by the way, it's interesting, this is who the Mishnah Berurah was quoting. If you just look in source number 4, he writes, U'bachur shaba michutz la'aretz l'aretz Yisrael. Is that the same case? Right. So he just now got rid of this whole thing about your spouse. I don't recall. I think it was Ephraim Margolios, but it's one of the commentators on the Shulchan Aruch. Ubachur sheba michutz laaretz Eretz Yisrael, pashta hora'a sheyasek Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who comes to learn in yeshiva. He says the custom is for that person to keep 1 day. Why would that be the case?
Because
that person is not as attached as if somebody was on a business trip. Again, the husband goes on a business trip, so his family being in that other place still, again, if he has no intention to join them, what do we see? So then he still would keep 2 days. Sorry, then he would keep, that. If he has no intention to go back to them, then would he keep 1 day. Otherwise, you would assume a person's going to go back to where his family is. What else did we see? If the whole family's traveling with them and the guy's doing business, so then you consider him to be part of wherever he is. Over here, what's the situation of a bachur? He has no real ties. Nothing is bringing him, or for that matter, her, if it's a bachur or bachura, somebody who's single, unattached, right? That's why they call this unattached. Somebody who's single and unattached. So what does he write here? Well, bachur sheba michutz la'aretz Yisrael, pashta hara'a she'asak ke'aretz Yisrael. Which now is a completely different thing that we just now saw the Mishnah Berurah, who had quoted the Shari Tshuva. And he quotes here the Hilchot Ktanot and others. And then he afterwards the next line writes, Hiskimu rabim gedolim v'gazru b'gzerech hamora shafilu bachurim lo barak derech arai mechuyav linhog shnei yamim k'minhag makom. And he quotes others who say that no, that a bachur, that if he only comes on a, let's say, on a short incidental trip, then he should keep 2 days. But now we actually are more confused now than we were 5 minutes ago. Ach im habachur zeh nishtadech pebat chutz la'aretz. What does that mean? He's engaged. And if he's engaged, then he has to do like chutz la'aretz. Why? Because then he is? Or, in other words, he's attached. Which means if he's engaged to somebody chutz, then he's not this person who's free. So at this point, what do we now know? We don't know anything. But let's try to make some sense out of what we have seen so far in our sources. What do we know? We know that in the case of the person who travels from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about it. We know the case of the person who travels in the other direction, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't speak about it. Once he doesn't speak about it, we will not be terribly surprised when we find that there will be an incredible amount of variant opinions, and that we're going to begin to see. Mishnah Berurah gave us what he feels is the normative opinion. What does he tell us? 2 days. One of the sources that he quotes telling us 2 days, because we'll see the other source that he quotes in a moment, one of the sources that he quotes for 2 days, what does it tell us? It says only if you're attached. If you're unattached, then all bets are off, because that may be a very different situation. The Aruch HaShulchan, who also believes you keep 2 days when you visit, adds one important thing along the way. A couple important things. Aruch HaShulchan is source number 5. When he tells you if you travel from Israel to Chutz La'aretz, look at the top line on page 2. Ach yelech b'malbushe yom tov, zehu ki malacha dehavi farhesia. That when you said you can't publicly do any malacha, what does he include in publicly doing malacha? Dressing in yom tov clothing. Okay, Aruch HaShulchan is very clear, which by the way makes a lot of sense. It would make very little sense that you have to be sensitive to the community and not to work, but you're dressed, you know, as if you're going off to the beach or something. So it really does make a great deal of sense that he includes that, but we are always happier when some dead rabbi says it instead of me saying it. So therefore, here you see it being black and white in the Aruch HaShulchan. Correct? And then he adds, when he's talking about a person traveling to Chutz La'aretz, he writes, where it's underlined a couple lines later, v'chein yirli, it seems to me, de'afilu bo levado, if a person came by himself, im ein da'ato lechzor ad achar shana, mikri ein da'ato lechzor. He just put a time limit on it. That if you plan on being in a particular place for a full year, of course now, does that mean 365 days or 354 days? What if it's only 340 days? But he's saying if you're going to be someplace for a year, then that's considered that you're part of that place. Where was he saying that? In which situation? Of the person coming from Israel to Chutz La'aretz, you're going to be there for a year, so what's he going to say? Even if you plan on going back, what does he say?
2 days.
2 days. You come from Israel to Chutz La'aretz, and you plan on staying there for a year. You're on Shlichut. You plan on staying there for a year. What does the Aruch HaShulchan say? You're more than a year, you should be keeping 2 days. Are there those who disagree with this? Yes. Are there those who disagree for political reasons? Yes. Those who don't want shlichim to feel that they're part of chutz la'aretz, there are many who will paskin that they should not keep 2 days in the situation. But again, he puts it at a year, so it would be very intriguing. Does he think the year would apply in the other direction as well? So I'm just bringing that up, that he does put a time limit on it. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, source number 6. Now, even though he is a chassid, and I hope it didn't come out wrong, even though he's a chassid and he's a rebbe and so on and so forth, his Shulchan Aruch is very normative. In fact, chassidim don't even follow the Shulchan Aruch Harav. There are many, many issues, especially in terms of davening, that Lubavitch does not follow the first Lubavitch Rebbe, because he also wrote a siddur, and his siddur is different than the laws he wrote in the Shulchan Aruch. So in the siddur, the tradition in Chabad, at least, is that there he wrote it for the insiders, and this he wrote for all of Klal Yisrael. Okay? But you should know it has very little mystical, very little, if any, Hasidic teachings within it. It is a normative Shulchan Aruch. And there are those who claim that this Shulchan Aruch actually saved Hasidim from going in the way that the Vilna Gaon thought that they were going. But that's a whole other topic. And at one point, somebody tried to convince me to write a doctorate on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and how it was written. I did a bunch of research, but I did nothing with it. What does he write in the bottom, Sif Yud Aleph? B'nei Chutz La'aretz, Shabo L'Eretz Yisrael, Afal Pi Shadatan Lachzor. Somebody from Chutz La'aretz comes just for Sukkos, just for Pesach, and he knows he's going back right afterwards. Ein Osen Eliyom Echad K'bnei Eretz Yisrael V'yesh Cholkin. What does he do? He keeps 1 day, but he admits. What does he admit at the end? There are those who disagree with me. So, he doesn't give us any logic. He died in 1812, I believe. 1812 or so. He was being chased by Napoleon. Napoleon. And he got ill along the way. Because he was plotting against Napoleon to support the Tsar, which is pretty funny because the Tsar put him in prison a couple of times. But he said Napoleon was more dangerous because Napoleon's going to give Jews freedom, and Jews with freedom are more dangerous than the Tsar who's oppressing them. Yeah, he thought the Enlightenment would be very dangerous, and he actually died as he was being chased down. That's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He says 1 day. So, we'll read source 7 because it's relevant, and the truth is we could have started with source 7. It's a mission in Psachim which has nothing to do with this particular case directly, but indirectly may have a lot to do with it. Mokum shenagu lasot malacha be'erev Psachim ad chatzot osim. Mokum shenagu shelo lasot ein osim. So there are two different customs. This chapter in Psachim is called chapter Mokum shenahagu, the chapter of it's actually a chapter that deals with minhagim. So what was the minhag here that it was speaking about? Whether you do work on Erev Pesach. So let me help you a little bit with this. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, there's no question that Erev Pesach was a holiday. What was the holiday called? Pesach. Why? Because that's the day they brought the Korban Pesach. Chag HaPesach was on what we call Erev Pesach, because that day they brought the Korban Pesach. And being a day that they brought the Korban, it did have some kind of a status of a holiday. Post-Korban, there were those who kept the custom of not doing work on that day, because it was a day of bringing the Korban. Those who say, well, today we don't bring the Korban, so therefore it has no nature of being a holiday at this point. So what does he say here? Mokam shenagu lasot malacha be'erev Pesach ad chatzot osin. If you live in a place that they do malacha, so what should the law be? Do malacha. You live in a place, okay, mokam shenagu shelo lasot, ein osin. Halach mi mokam she'osin lemokam she'ein osin. You go from a place that does malacha to a place that doesn't do malacha. O mi mokam she'ein osin lemokam she'osin. You travel from one place to the other, what should you do? That if you travel from one place to the other, what's the halacha? You should be machmir according to both sensibilities. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, what are the parameters of this? I just told you it's a whole chapter of the Gemara. There's a lot to talk about, but at least I want you to see this source. And he writes, "Ve'al yishana adam nei machloket." A person shouldn't change from what's going on because of machloket. Now, I'm not going any further into that line right now, but this will be mentioned in passing as we go.
Well,
right, but again,
no matter what, it's always going to be 2 days because that's the machmir.
Right, right, correct, correct. Of course, if you travel from Chutz La'aretz, sorry, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, you don't do malacha, but does that mean that you really keep a full 2 days? Again, that also may not be clear. Okay, shut avkat rochel. Sheila. Question that is raised. This is in the 16th century. Hayotze mi Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz, vidato lachzor. You're traveling from Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz, and you have intention to come back. Imit palok b'nei Eretz Yisrael, v'ta'am lama ha'olim l'regel, mit palolim v'farhesia k'b'nei chutz la'aretz v'ein mochin. And the second part of his question is, why do people, when they are ole l'regel, what does that mean? People come to Israel on the holiday. Why do they daven publicly like Chutz La'aretz, and why doesn't anybody protest? Now, this is very interesting because here we see him talking about it. You know what? I was going to save it for the end, but I'll help you a little bit now. I won't say it at the very end of reading this. Nobody asked. I thought someone would ask me. I thought you were going to ask me. Who is the Avakat Rochel? It's a very interesting person. His name is Rav Yosef Karo, which means this is the author of the Shulchan Aruch, which means even though he left his halacha out of the Shulchan Aruch, here I have a tshuva that Rav Yosef Karo is speaking about the topic that he left out. Okay, is that now more interesting?
Okay, after, maybe this problem came about after he wrote the Shulchan Aruch.
Part of what we're going to have to deal with. Maybe he wrote it before. Maybe he wrote this when he was younger, and then he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and he left it out, so therefore maybe it's not relevant. Maybe it is relevant. What we're going to see is this opinion has not really moved anybody one way or the other, because those who agree with what it says here say, oh, look, Rav Yosef Karo says it, and those who disagree will come up to reasons that not to agree with him, including he didn't choose to write this in the Shulchan Aruch. And can we... Well, I haven't said his opinion yet. The question that he's dealing with is, why when people come from Chutz La'aretz to Israel and they keep 2 days, which we didn't know that that's what his opinion was, why do they have a minyan publicly, something which the Mishnah Berurah told us they shouldn't do? Why? Because when you travel from place to place, as we just saw in the Mishnah, you should generally follow the sensibilities of the other place. You follow your custom, but you try to avoid machloket. Okay. Shuva, davar pashut hu. It's simple. Dekol shadatu lachzor, noheg kimakom sheyatza misham. He says it's fundamental that anybody who has intention of going back to where they came from, what do? Then they have to follow the place they came from, which means the fact that geographically you may not be where you normally are, for example, let's say you are a Jew from Poland and you wait 6 hours between meat and milk and you travel to Germany one day. Do you now keep 3 hours? Do you keep 3 hours while you're in Germany? Why not? Because you follow your custom. You follow your custom. By the way, in the old days where there really were communities, and I'm not going to talk about 6 hours because we spoke about that last year. Anybody who wants, you can look up on my website and you can find the class that I gave on that. In the olden days, it's quite probable that if somebody moved from Poland to Germany, would have started keeping 3 hours, like the community. Then, meaning, once you become part of that new community, you follow all of their customs. Over here, he says, as long as you have intention to go back, it's as if you never left. Anybody who has intention to go back where they came from, it's as if they never left where they came from, even though geographically they are someplace else right now. You don't do things publicly to bother people, but either direction that you're going, if you intend to go back, that's what you follow. Now, once you know that this is the opinion of Rav Yosef Karo, we can now guess what would his opinion be if you traveled from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. What would he say you should do? 2 days. 2 days. Look where it's underlined next. Umavuar shel olam kosha datar lachzor anu ro'im oto ki ilu ho adayin b'makom she'yatzah misham. Anybody who has intention to go back, we look at them. The chodavar ubuvad she'yaseh b'tzinah b'bnei machloket. Again, we want to avoid machloket as much as we can. V'mkein tefillah de b'tzinah hi pshita upshita denoi ki makom she'yatzah misham kevin shadatar lachzor v'zeh davar pashut lo intend likatev la'otzam pshitato. He goes, of course the guy has to daven as if he's from Chutz La'aretz. He goes, this is so simple, one doesn't even have to write it. Which, by the way, maybe now you could be tempted to say that's why he didn't bother writing this in the Shulchan Aruch, because this is so simple. I'm not convinced. Continue where it's underlined. Have a misha yatzam yer tzer lechutz laaretz v'dato lechzor dekol shadato lechzor afal pishu bechutz laaretz arehu ki ilu hu be'eretz v'chol misha bami chutz laaretz eretz Yisrael v'dato lechzor have bichlal b'nei chutz laaretz ninu. Either way you travel, it's as if you're still from wherever you came from. V'chein ma'asim b'kol yom, b'kol shana, v'shana. Olin l'shalosh regalim michutz la'aretz, la'aretz. And every year there are people coming. V'osim yom sheni shagoliot, ki tikunan, ki mishpatav b'chutz la'aretz. V'lo od, elo shemitkabtsim min yam b'nei chutz la'aretz, ha'olim l'regel, un balalim tefila, v'korim b'tarao, maftirim b'navi, v'brachot tefila b'sof, kamo shosim b'yom to sheni b'chutz la'aretz. V'dor v'ze nasem yimei kedem b'nei gdole olam, v'lo pikpek adam b'dover ze ma'olam. So this, which the Mishnah Berurah, as I told you before, disagreed with, what does he say? He goes, every year it happens. The people come, are all the regal, come to Eretz Yisrael, keep 2 days, have a minyan, daven, have kriyat ha-Torah, and everything, and no one's ever argued with this. So he says it must be that since it's so accepted, that's the last line that I've underlined here, the al korchein lo medesvir lo, the gdole olum, the al korchach lo tani al yishana al dimenei machloket, ela bimalacha. When it says you shouldn't do things that will cause arguments, he goes, it must only be malacha and not davening. Even though Jews have never argued because of davening, right? That has never caused any kind of machloket. So this is interesting. I think he's working a little bit too hard over here. But what have we gained at this point? You now know what the opinion is of Rav Yosef Karo. Naum, he signs, that's Seir Yosef Karo. Just in case you didn't believe me, he even signed it. Okay, so this is in fact Rav Yosef Karo's position. The major opinion who disagrees is the Chacham Tzvi, or Tzvi Ashkenazi. The Tzvi Ashkenazi is better known, he was a rabbi of Amsterdam, and he's better known as the father of Rav Yaakov Emden, who's called Ya'avetz Yaakov ben Tzvi. So he's known as the Chacham Tzvi. Yeah, 1700s he lived. Sheila, b'nei chutz la'aretz ha'olim la'aretz Yisrael derech arai hechi nehei b'sholosh rogim im g'nei eretz Yisrael look b'nei chutz la'aretz. Is the question straightforward and simple? Yes, this is the question that we asked. Tshuva, he says, nira la'aniyat da'ati, it seems to me, my humble opinion, t'tzrichim heim l'nhog lehit naheg b'inyanei ha'mo'adim ke'achad b'bnei eretz Yisrael ha'toshavim ve'ein ze b'klal chumrei mokom she'yatzah misham. And this is, what do you do? You keep 1 day. And this is not included in those types of things that you keep the custom of where you came and where you went. Why? If you try to daven to keep chutz la'aretz laws in Israel where it's not a holiday, averihi biyado. Ela afilu malacha mutarim heim she'ilu hoyu kolon she'em makom she'atzu misham kan b'kfiyat ha'pshita she'osam heim hoyu la'asot yoter miyom echad mishum bal tosef. He goes, anybody who tries to keep a second day Yom Tov in Israel is guilty of bal tosef, will be breaking a Torah law of adding to the Torah. So he says, and by the way, bless you, and you know what's interesting about this? He doesn't see keeping 1 day as being a kula. He sees keeping 1 day as being a chumrah. As being a chumrah. He's being machmir. What's he machmir on? And by the way, this is a very important lesson. This is a very important lesson in halacha. Very often people will look at something and think, oh, he's being lenient, he's being stringent. He's claiming that if anybody keeps the second day yantiv, that the davening that they will be bracha levatala. And but not just bracha levatala, saying God's name in vain, but on top of all that, what else is he claiming? He's claiming that he's guilty of baltosev, he's adding to Torah. Why? He said, because there's no such thing as a second day Yom Tov. in Chutz Laaretz. The rabbis made a gezerah. In Israel, the rabbis made a gezerah. They made a law that there's a second day Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz. There is no second day Yom Tov in Israel. And therefore, if you try to do this, there is no law of the rabbis like this. He says you're adding to the Torah. And in fact, the Gemara says if somebody sleeps on the eighth day in the Sukkah, the Gemara says this, if you sleep the eighth day in the Sukkah, you're guilty of Baal Tosef. So if the Gemara says if you eat in the eighth day in the Sukkah, you're guilty of Baal Tosef, so what if you're keeping the second day Yom Tov, right? You make a second Seder, or what? You keep on going and give all kinds of examples. He says you're guilty of Baal Tosef. Just one second, let's just finish this source. We're skipping a bit, as you see. Ve'ein bi'ad anshi eretz Yisrael lahosif yom echad yoter mi'akatuv b'torah lachmir af haba'im b'chutz laaretz asurim heim lenhog shnei yom tov shel goliot. People in Israel cannot add a second day, and people visiting can't keep a second day. Kol zman shem be'eretz Yisrael, as long as they're in the land of Israel, afilu derech arai, even just, you know, temporarily, kevan shehamakom gorein. So he's saying is that keeping a second day in Israel is based upon the place and not based upon the person. In the land of Israel, there is no such thing as second day Yom Tov. You try to keep it, the Chacham Tzvi will accuse you of keeping, of being over on Baal Tosef. So now we realize that we have two incredibly divergent opinions. One is Rav Yosef Karo, and the other is the Chacham Tzvi, and all that we have to figure out is what the halacha is, and very often when you have two very different opinions, we're going to end up with other things in the middle as well. Yes? Okay. This is not relevant to the discussion. Yes.
Another one not relevant to the discussion.
Yes.
This is definitely stated and makes sense. In Israel, it's the place, not the person. Okay? So, conversely, it does not work out of
the The Chacham Tzvi would claim that when you travel from Israel to Chutz La'aretz, then it goes into this issue. No, he wouldn't necessarily say that. He would say, then it goes into the question of your custom of where you come from, where you're going to. But because in Chutz La'aretz, it's possible to keep 2 days, it would theoretically also possible to keep 1 day. Over here he's saying, but if you come to Israel, it's not there is no such thing as 2 days. Let's continue a little bit.
Will we get more lenient on leaving Israel? Will you finish up with that?
Maybe. What do you mean?
When did it begin? As soon as after the destruction of the second temple, the first temple.
It's not so simple. The history over here is not so simple. It's not. I can't answer you. No, I can't answer you. Source number 10 is the Ya'avetz. Who's the Ya'avetz? The son of the Chacham Tzvi. So, as a good son, he completely disagrees with his father. Yaakov Emden, he disagreed with everybody, but over here he disagrees with his father. I'm not going to go through the whole tshuva. I didn't even write down for you the whole tshuva. But he does end up telling you that he disagrees with his father. Not only that, he even says that if you live in Israel and you live in a place in Israel that maybe the witnesses didn't get to, maybe you should keep 2 days in Israel. So this is as far as you can possibly be from what his father said. Rav Yashuv thinks this is very significant. Rav Yashuv thinks it's very significant that the son disagreed with the father, and he said, therefore we see nobody follows the Chacham Tzvi. I saw this quoted. I do not understand at all how he could say such a thing, because there are many people who follow the Chacham Tzvi, as we will say, or at least considered it. I have a book over here which I never thought I would buy, but I bought just to prepare this class. Someone should probably reimburse me. Yom Tov Sheni Kihilchato. I mean, I thought I never would have needed such a book. But over here, he does quote Rav Yashuv as saying this. But he has an interesting footnote, and he says that one of the major differences between the poskim in America, or let's say Chutz La'aretz generally, versus the poskim in Israel, is that the poskim in Israel do follow the Chacham Tzvi, even if not completely. It's an added consideration when they deal with questions. It's a consideration where the poskim and Chutz La'aretz completely ignore the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, so that's, I think, a very interesting observation. But
in the
just, just Just in 10, let's look at on page 4 from the second line, the last word in the line. Im lo b'davar barur ve'ein tzarech lom b'makom shelo hayu darim adayin Yisraelim la'eit kazot im shahayu shom b'tchilad zman beitmin shemi'ata harishut netuna l'bayim l'gur shem mechadesh l'kvora b'minig chutz la'aretz. Which means, he says, that maybe if people come to live in a place in Israel that no one ever lived before, so maybe they should keep following the custom of chutz la'aretz. If we're not sure if the shlichim got there, so he goes into this whole argument that maybe even in Eretz Yisrael they should be keeping 2 days. Anyway. Rav Yaakov Emden is very. I've heard rumors of various people, including the Brisker Rav, which I have reason to doubt, but and the Chazon Ish, that they kept a second day. They didn't do malacha on the second day Yantiv, even in Israel, because they were not sure where they lived, particularly if the Shlichim ever got there. Which means they did like this argument of Rav Yaakov Emden. There are people who like the argument. Now, I don't believe that anybody ever passed this way for the masses, but there were individuals who were inspired by this. Source number 11, and I just have to warn you, source number 11, I don't have the book at home. And I had somewhat of a challenge of getting it on the paper like this. So what I did is I went to a wonderful website, HebrewBooks.org, which has every single Hebrew book that you possibly would want, which is all the books which are out of print, all the books which no longer have a copyright on them. HebrewBooks.org. Okay? HebrewBooks.org. And I downloaded, and somehow my computer was able to read the PDF and turn it into, don't even ask me, but it couldn't read all the letters. The nuns, it turns into gimels, and the chetz into hays, and the hays into chetz, which means it wasn't reading it properly, so I had to edit it, and I changed certain things, so it could be that I made up the source. I made up a little, I mean, whatever, I had to fix it up. No. Rav Tukachinsky. Now, Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky, there's still a luach you can buy every year, the luach Eretz Yisrael, the luach of Tukachinsky. It's very considered very authoritative. Over here, he reports to us what he's, and I believe, I didn't have a chance to check, it was his father-in-law, was Rav Salant, Shmuel Salant, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. And he writes, "M'pi mori v'rebi hagon Rav Shimon Salant, Zatzal, shamati od tam l'shevach, l'chazek b'masmerim et shitat hachacham tzvi." So what do we hear now? That the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, the Chacham Tzvi, Rav Shmuel Salant, felt there was another reason to follow the Chacham Tzvi. His reason, which I will tell you outside, is very simple. What was the custom in the time of the Beit HaMikdash if somebody lived in Chutz La'aretz and came to visit Eretz Yisrael? They would have kept 1 day. Because there was only 1 day in Israel, and there was no suffix then. There was no suffix. The person who came to visit Israel, there was no suffix. So he says, the minhag of B'nai Chutz La'aretz, who came to visit Israel, was always to keep 1 day. And therefore, Rav Shmuel Salant wants to argue that the Chacham Tzvi is absolutely correct, because there's no minhag of 2 days. Again, he's not using the Chacham Tzvi's argument. What was his argument? That it's Baal Tosef. What's he saying? He's saying, of course, the Chacham Tzvi is right. No one ever had a minhag to keep 2 days Yantiv in the land of Israel. Now that's the argument that he puts forth. He himself eventually, if you look by section, he also says over here in Tet, which is the next paragraph where it's bolded, he also brings this case that you come with your wife and family. He also wants to say that if a whole family comes together, that should be considered that you're here. Now, I do have to admit something, and this is what I alluded to in the very beginning. The modes of travel are very different today than they once were. It was a long time ago if a whole family came to Israel, so you know what? They're, And he actually writes Zionist reasons over here. He includes Zionist reasons. He goes, of course, if somebody visits, if they can actually find themselves a job, of course they're going to end up staying in Israel. He goes, because people, that's the spirit of the time, is to want to build up the land of Israel. So he finds that if a whole family comes, of course they should keep, you know, one day. Now, it's not what he ends up saying in the end. Again, if you just want to see this, V'arbei poskim omrim, shafilu choshev lachzor l'mkom amrinan, kevan sha'akr dirato yachad, im b'nei beto amrinan da'ato, kishayim tza parnasato, b'makom achadash, yisha'er sham, v'arei ke'in da'ato lachzor. He goes, if a person finds, and he speaks more about this later on, Yud Aleph, which is the next line, min haga urchim be'eretz Yisrael lama'aseh, what people should do, bottom line. Again, I didn't even tell the name of the book, it's called Ir HaKodesh V'HaMikdash, again, a lot of things about Israel. Over here, he goes, and he basically creates, in Yud Aleph, the opinion which some of you have come to know as a day and a half. He fundamentally believes that the Chacham Tzvi is right. But, he says, that he doesn't want to fight with all the other rabbis who say 2 days. So what he suggests is to keep 1 day in terms of davening, but not to do malacha on the second day. And he goes through all kinds of details of what they should do, which means on the 8th day to put on tefillin, but not to... Basically, this is to keep 1 day with a chumrah of Isser Malacha. That is what Rav Shmuel Salant says in the end, even though he himself feels that the Chacham Tzvi is correct. He doesn't, in the end, rely on it completely. Source 5 is... It's a kind of a compromise. Source 5 is Rav Avadya Yosef. Now, sorry. Page 5, source 12 is Rav Avadya Yosef. The reason this is interesting, source 12 on page 5, the reason this is interesting is because knowing Rav Avadya Yosef, what would we think? He knows what the Beit Yosef says. He knows what he wrote in the Tshuva. So you would assume that he would then end up saying is that the person who comes and travels should keep 2 days. But we also saw something else along the line, and that was that the Bachur Yeshiva who would come. The question he's asked over here is the Bachur Yeshiva who travels should keep 1 day or two. He ends up quotes the Beit Yosef. You see that towards the beginning. He quotes Rav Shmuel Misalant, you see that afterwards, who supports the Chacham Tzvi. He informs us that Rav Kook paskined like the Chacham Tzvi and told people to keep 1 day. He rejects all of this out of hand. But in the very end, after rejecting it, he comes back to it, and what does he write at the end? Bottom paragraph, Ulam, Me'achish re'inu l'chacham tzvi v'shol meishu v'hagraz v'shulchan aruch t'sviulam sh'bekol ofen yesh nog yom tov echad bilvad bein l'hako bein l'hach mi'nihi d'lo kaima l'hachi the inyan balabatim sha'olu l'eretz yisro v'datim l'achzor. Even though I don't feel that I should rely on this opinion for a person who comes, a person who's got a whole family and has roots in Chutz La'aretz, but for the Bachur Yeshiva who comes, he relies on this. He says someone's going to offer him a shidduch. Someone offers them a shidduch. And he ends up saying, listen, this was the Sfaradi custom, which, by the way, is the other thing that is Rav Avadya's motivation. He says this was always the custom, and he quotes later on that this is what everyone always said, that if a kid comes from Chutz La'aretz and meets a girl, certainly if the father-in-law says, I'll support you, there's nothing to talk about, and Rav Avadya, therefore, paskins for people who come for the year, people come to learn here, he would paskin 1 day, but if somebody came to stay in a hotel and came just for the holiday, somebody who had a whole family had roots, he wouldn't. So it's interesting. He relies on the Chacham Tzvi in one case, but it's also it's a different kind of compromise. Correct. Yes. Okay. Let's look at 13. 13 is...
Are you obligated to do a second day for the people who come to Chutz La'aretz and visit you?
I'm not answering that yet. Look at source 13. This is with Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Ben chutz laaretz sheyesh lo dira kavua be'eretz Yisrael, v'kover liot tamid b'kol shol shel regalim b'dirato be'eretz Yisrael, im chayv v'yom tov sheni. So what's his case? Somebody who owns an apartment and comes every year for the three holidays. They're olu l'regel every year. They live in chutz. Right. They live in chutz laaretz. They get on a plane and they come for all three holidays. Now, I've heard a lot of people, you know, it's funny, like, if you talk to, like, kids who come for the year, there's, like, this conventional wisdom. Oh, if you're going to stay for all three holidays, then you keep one day, too. I don't know where they got this from. I don't know, like, who's saying this. The closest is what he says over here, but let's read it. Nir lefi aniyadati. Diyesh ladun b'mi sheyesh lo dira kavua b'eretz Yisrael, v'kavu atzmam liyot tamid b'diratam, sheb'eretz Yisrael, yachad b'mishto b'nei beto, b'chol shalosh ad ha-regilim, da'af sherov v'shana heim b'chutz la'aretz, mekol makom le'inyin yom tov sheni, kevan shevdel b'nei eretz Yisrael, l'chutz la'aretz shayach rak b'gimel regilim, nira lefi yedati, de'ein aleim shem shel b'nei chutz la'aretz, b'yachas le'yom tov sheni. So what did he say? Somebody who comes every year for the three holidays, he goes, as far as I'm concerned, they are part of Eretz Yisrael for the holidays, even though they're not here the rest of the year. They should only keep one day. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orenbach, who I think should be considered quite authoritative. Next words underlined, Mikol makom biyotam b'Eretz Yisrael chushavni dekivan shekach derkam tamid harehem kibnei Eretz Yisrael le'inyin zeh v'aduf temi mi sheyesh lo dira b'Eretz Yisrael v'dira b'chutzar v'dara mishto b'kfiyut chatzi shana b'Eretz Yisrael v'chatzi shana b'chutzaretz. He goes, what happens if somebody has an apartment here, an apartment there, and half the year here, half the year there? He says, the person who only comes to Shalosh Regalim, as far as he's concerned, they're on firmer ground of keeping only one day. I'll skip a little bit. And he quotes the Grizz and Grizz Mintzberg and others. He says the pachot mish. He quotes somebody else who said the pachot mishishachadushim einakur dira. If you live in a place for under 6 months, it's not considered to be living someplace. But again, I'm not sure how much he fully embraced this. What he does say. You know what? The part I skipped, I actually liked. He writes, let's say you come every year for the three holidays, right after the first lines are underlined. V'afshim tluyim tamid bedat acherim, even though this is not always within your control. V'yesh shelo yeh lehem makom ba'aviron u'chidom, v'yitzraku ba'al korch li'sher b'chutz la'aretz, v'az v'adi yuchayevim b'yom tov sheni. He says, let's say you come every year for all three holidays, and 1 year you don't. You stay there for... So he says, so what should you do while you're there? You should keep 2 days while you're there. But the fact that you didn't come for all three doesn't make a difference. He goes, as far as you're concerned, you normally come to Israel for the holidays. So you're considered part of Eretz Yisrael for the holidays, and you should keep 1 day. At the very end, he writes, Mikol makom b'tziruf im shitat ha-chacham tzvi, asher dvarav heim divrei svara v'rabonon kishishai, hitchashvu bo, nira degam b'kai gavna rehim p'tur miyom tov sheni. What does he say? How does he quote the Chacham Tzvi? He quotes it as saying it's a bona fide, logical opinion which was quoted by many, many people, and many people accept it. Again, I think Rabbi Yashiv went a little far to say, oh, because his son argued with it, it's thrown away. Who quoted? Who's the most primary person who quoted it without quoting it? The Shulchan Aruch Harav. Yeah, I mean, he didn't tell you who he was following, but now you realize very, very obvious who he's following. He was following the same opinion as the Chacham Tzvi. So at the end, he ends up. He says if a person wants to be machmir, lo lasam malach mikom bekiddush v'tfilah v'kolshkin the inyan tfilah yesh l'manhog litnaheg kibnei Yisrael kach nir lefi yadati, which means he ends up also with this. Medium opinion, but it's for the person who has a place. Now, I will just finish up by telling you, if you want to know what I paskin, or you don't. It depends who asks. Just in case you ever suspected that rabbis do that, I admit this 100%. I give different answers to different people. I also have a very interesting paragraph over here, written by Rav Schechter in Nefesh HaRav, which is his halachic biography of Rabbi Soloveitchik, who writes on page 84 that when Rabbi Soloveitchik traveled during Sfirat HaOmer to Israel in 1935, he traveled to Israel, his father told him that he should follow the ruling of his father, Reb Chaim, who says, that you should keep one day because the Chacham Tzvi is right. So that is an incredible support for the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi. Rabbi Soloveitchik saying that's what his father and his grandfather did, which is why I said the rumors about the Briska Rav. If that was what the Reb Chaim said, I don't know how the Briska Rav would have kept 2 days in Israel if he felt that it really followed after the place. Now, Rabbi Soloveitchik himself tortured himself what to do. This is a true story. He tortured himself what to do for Shavuot that year. Should he keep 1 day? Should he keep 2 days? And he went back and forth. He finally decided that he would keep 1.5 days, like with Shmuel Salant. He wouldn't do any malacha. And then, of course, he looked at the calendar and realized the second day was Shabbos. And it wasn't all that relevant as far as the malacha goes, but it's for the davening. As far as the davening goes, it was relevant. If somebody is a Ben Torah and somebody enjoys being machmir, like Rabbi Soloveitchik did, then I would tell them to keep 1.5 days and not to do malacha on the second day. Being that 98% of the people that ask me, I do not think are within that category, and I therefore tell them to keep 1 day, because fundamentally, what is a person supposed to do? I'll tell you what. What's a person supposed to do? If somebody wants to pass halacha, what should they do at the end of the day? You follow which opinion makes more sense. The logic of Rav Shmuel Salant, I think, is wonderful. The logic of the Chacham Tzvi is not as convincing. The Baal Tosaf argument is not as convincing. But to say that in the time of Chazal, when people would travel to Eretz Yisrael, what would they do? They would keep 1 day. So therefore, there was no minhag of keeping 2 days on Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, I think really that's what Reb Chaim was coming from as well, by saying there was no minhag. So therefore, what's 1.5 days? It's 1 day plus a chumrah. And this is very important. What's the purpose of a chumrah? The purpose of a chumrah is to bring you closer to God. If you're doing a chumrah, which you resent, you should not be keeping that chumrah. So in this particular case, when people come, if they're going to feel like an idiot, let's say they're staying in an Israeli neighborhood and they're going to feel like an idiot keeping 1.5 days, I'm not even talking about 2 days, keeping 1.5 days, I would say that chumrah is not bringing you closer to God. You should not be keeping that chumrah. If it's somebody who I defined earlier as a Ben Torah, who loves trying to keep every single Shitas Rishonim and Achronim, so that person should keep 1.5 days. So I do give different psak for most people. Almost all of my students who ask, I will tell them to keep 1 day. You know, halavai, everybody should keep 1 day properly. Forget about 2 days. I tell them to keep 1 day. But as you saw, there are many different opinions over here. But Rav Shlomo Zalman is also quoted, that was the whole reason it was worthwhile getting this book. He's quoted over here as saying that by virtue of the fact that it's not written in the Shulchan Aruch, that gives us even more leeway to follow the Chacham Tzvi. Because he says, it's not like Rav Yosef Karo felt strong enough about it to write in the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore, being a law which isn't the Shulchan Aruch gives us more leeway to decide how to decide. So I hope all of that made sense.
So that's
my question.
What happens when you have guests and they want to keep 2 days? How, as a hostess,
tell them they're guilty of Baal Tosif. You should be polite to your guests.
But